I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Weak ass Cowboys.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and the Blonde Bomber and T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest for you. And the latest is we'll hear from Moneybags here in just a bit. Hopefully it got better last night, although I was tracking that Houston-Louisiana Lafayette game. They cracked 40. They got 45 points, but I think he was in the clear with that thing. But that'll be coming up a little bit later on, T-Mill's best bets. The latest is we are here live. Buffalo Wild Wings will be here till 6 o'clock. We are at the Willowbrook Plaza location, and we are going to be here, as I said, till 6. We have one more prize to give away. Congratulations to Brandon. Give him a hand, our latest winner. As he is our latest winner, one more prize as we have here a pair of tickets. For the Texans and the Titans. And not only do you get a pair of tickets, you also get two wristbands courtesy of our good friends of Bud Light that come with a couple of drinks, food tickets as well. So make sure you fill out your name, put it in our raffle box like this young lady is doing right here, and you'll have a chance to win. That's coming up a little bit later on in this hour. Real quick before we get to it, from the text line, Ron, you need help due to what I said about my dog, Bear. Listen, you're not there alone with him and what he does to me and what he does to us, okay? You're not there, all right? I just want to have a little dominance. That's all.
Let him know who the man of the house is.
That's right. Man. That's right. He tries to fight it. That's right. Right? You don't have your ankles and toes bitten like mine are. All right? So calm down on that. But let's get to it here as the injury report is out, Clint. As we look through it all, there are several things on this injury report, including guys that didn't practice of Will Anderson, Danico Autry, due to rest. So hopefully he's all right. Kamari Lassiter with a concussion. Derek Stingley with a hip issue, did not practice today. Some of the good news there is returning to practice is Damian Pierce, who's missed games. Nico Collins did practice as well. What is it to you that jumps out, your concern level with some of these guys that didn't practice? Kamari Lassiter, Will Anderson, I think the headliners there. And the ones I think in most question if they'll play or not.
Well, I'm going to stick to my guns. The ankles just don't tend to scare me as much as hamstrings, and damn sure not as much as concussions.
So you think there's still a chance with Will?
Yeah, I think there's still a chance. And look, the fact that Kamari Lassiter did not practice. I mean, usually the getting back to practice in a limited form is one of the boxes that they have to check in concussion protocol. And so if he's not practicing, he's nowhere close to the final steps of concussion protocol. So Kamari Lassiter, it would shock me if we see him Monday night. But Will Anderson, I'd bet good money Will Anderson's out there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't practiced in over 2 weeks now. Well, you think he'll be out there? We'll see. I hope so. I'd like to see him out there. Clearly, man, your guy who has been your best defensive player, you would like him to be out there. Like him to be out in the game. You would like him to be out there for you. We'll see. Hopefully he is there.
Hopefully he's there. Hopefully he's full go. I think it's a treat, man. I don't think we've seen the best of this young fella yet, but being able to see Will Anderson or Micah Parsons on the field every single snap damn near next Monday night is going to be special. That would be a tremendous defensive watch to watch those two guys, the way they play the game, the way they can impact the game, and to be able to see that, we'll sit down and watch that game, and either defense is on the field, you got a chance to change the game. And I'm not putting Will Anderson in the same category as Micah Parsons quite yet, but he plays a very similar game relative to just being absolutely relentless. And that hopefully he's healthy and we get to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully he is. Kamari Lassiter is one that that I don't think he's going to play. With a concussion, we've seen, you know, most guys miss at least a game with it, and he didn't return in the game. He's not practicing as he has a concussion protocol. But the other part of that is Jeff Okuda has not played yet this season. He is looks like he's going to be a go as he practiced in full. He was eligible to come back last week. He did not. In a game that I think the Texans will have big control over against the Cowboys because they're just that much better than the Cowboys. This is one to see what Jeff Okuda can do in a game that, you know, it's not like, hey, man, hey, you know, Lamar and that Ravens defense or Patrick Mahomes, that to get his feet wet, to understand what you got him, this is, to me, is one that's a good one for him.
Well, I mean, here's the thing is you got to be careful with the Cowboys is they've got a game wrecker as good as anybody in the league in Micah Parsons on the defensive side of the football. And they allow him the freedom to do just that. Line up anywhere you want against anybody you want and go get the quarterback and disrupt the game. Right? That factor, when our offense is on the field, that guy's ability to change the game, he's going to change the game at least once in some form or fashion. What you got to do is keep him from changing that thing three or four times and just wrecking everything you're doing, right? And the problem...
Yeah, he's probably going to make a play or two.
Right.
Yeah.
And the deal is now you flip and you go to their offensive side of the football, right? And we're missing one corner in Kamari with a concussion. You got one that's got some level of a hip issue that didn't practice today in Stingley, although we're not worried about it. And then you've got, hopefully, Jeff Okuda is active and playing. But you've got a cover defender problem. And guess what? You might also have a rush defender problem if Will Anderson can't play because also, in a limited fashion, Danico Autry. Actually, it was rest. That was rest, though, wasn't it? So I'll take that back. So Danico's finds rest.
Missing the first six games.
But they've got – point is they've got a game changer on the offensive side of the football in CeeDee Lamb, who, again, a guy that they let roam all over the field, and so it's going to be hard to keep tabs on him. And if he gets loose a few times, and he particularly does it early, then you could have a different front-running Cowboy team on your hand and have some issues. So while, yes, the Texans should go out there and blow the doors – off of the Cowboys. I firmly believe it. I firmly believe they're the better team. The Cowboys do have two X-factor dudes and one on each side of the football that can flip this game on its head rather quickly.
Yeah. CeeDee Lamb's is an issue. It's just, you know, with the pressure that I think the Texans are going to get, like they get often and like the Cowboys give up often, Cooper Rush and Trey Lance, whoever it is, I don't think they're going to be able to get the ball enough to CeeDee Lamb out there. And, you know.
You hope not.
Yeah. I just, with that case. But I do think this is this not to say low pressure, but as I said, I think the Texans will be in control and a good first one back for Jeff Okuda. So good to have them there. Because if you didn't have Jeff Okuda, you know, you're right looking at D'Angelo Ross, who they brought back on into the fold. Yesterday. So there it is. That is the injury report. We'll be looking out for it tomorrow to see if there are any changes or any guys that may be declared out before the game coming up on Monday.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. Last night, the Rockets got a big win against the Clippers. Six guys in double figures in this game, and including Thompson and Eason coming off the bench. They both had double-doubles in this game. Both had 18 points and double-figure rebounds. They both had double-doubles in this game. As this was just a all hands on deck. Everybody contributed, led by Jalen Green and his 21 points. But they beat a Clippers team, and to me, fellas, the thing that was most impressive that I enjoyed, and I think you will enjoy, those of you who are watching the Rockets and those of you who will start to watch the Rockets, is you can clearly see, like, hey, the Rockets, who there were times where you could clearly see that there was a different level. Even in the times they got up for certain teams, you could see there was a clear different level between them and other teams. And you can see, at the very least, and I think you can argue early right now, and especially the way they looked yesterday, that they may be above them. You can clearly see they are running with the Clippers. Right? They're a team that is on a similar level, if not a better, bigger level, than the Clippers. And that is a joy to see, that game in and game out, they don't look, outmatched.
Yeah.
They don't look, in a certain way. They look like they are ready and mature to play with these teams. And that game, watching that, in and out of it, I mean, it looked easy, right? Like,
yep.
When I say easy, it didn't seem like it was, like, they gave everything they had. Like, it didn't say, like, somebody had 40 or something. So, the Rockets are, to me, the thing that we wanted to see is they are becoming more consistent every game in and game out.
Well, it feels good to be on the path that the Rockets are on. And look, I just looked up while ago on the TVs. I mean, they're showing playoff seeding at 10 or 11 games into the season. I don't know what the hell kind of value is in that, but the Rockets are up there, and they're rolling. In the meantime, the conversation about the Mavs is how many people are out on the Mavs because they're struggling, obviously. So
yeah.
It's good to be on early on, for what it's worth. It's good to be on this side of the conversation, sitting at, what, 8-3 now?
Eight and three. You can get off to a hot start, right, and play –
Yeah,
but it is like when you watch them, it's like, yeah, they're on the
sure.
level of these
yeah.
teams, and I think that's a really big deal. And their young guys are starting to come about, and that if they keep Eason healthy, man, he's kind of got that attitude, as you talk about that Udoka attitude. He most definitely has that. A tough player, really good defender, and he's coming along. So. Continue with the Rockets as they're rolling through with a really good start to the season.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
5 o'clock fire.
That drop makes me laugh.
It is good,
one of my favorites.
He had a nice little game last night. 13 points, but a nice all-around game last
Love
night.
Love you, Alpy.
From Alpy. All right, Thursday night football tonight. This is a big weekend of games. We know the Texans are going to Dallas to play the Cowboys. You got the Chiefs, Bills. You got the Ravens, Steelers, and tonight kind of sets it off with the Washington Commanders heading to Philadelphia. The winner of this game is in first place of the NFC East, and the Washington Commanders clearly have been the surprise team of the season, along with their quarterback, who's been the surprise player of the season, and Philadelphia, who Philadelphia seems to be a team that many people. Often, and I think I'm included in it, like to talk about all the things that are wrong with them. But then you look up and they're 7-2 and they got a top five offense and a top 10 defense. A top five defense and a top 10 offense. And Jalen Hurts has 22 total touchdowns and 5 interceptions. And, Saquon Barkley is an argument to be the number one free agent signee of the offseason. So this is a big game. I personally, obviously there's a lot of season left. I personally think the winner of this game has obviously a great, great chance to win this division and, obviously earn themselves a playoff spot. But a big game tonight between these two teams.
Yeah, look, I think the sexy part of this game tonight, the matchup, you mentioned part of it, is, Cliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels, the high-powered Washington offense that's a top two or three offense in production and one of the better offenses in the league versus that Philadelphia Eagles defense, which is one of the top handful of defenses in the league. So I think that's the eye catcher. That's the headliner. That's the story everybody's talking about coming in. But I think the one thing, Tyler, you might want to listen up on this one before you pick them best bets, especially if you got a little room for me. This is a Saquon Barkley night. This is a Jalen Hurts night.
So you like over 93.5 for Saquon rushing?
Yes, and I like over for whatever Jalen Hurts is. It's hard to look at the big boy stats and just go, okay, there's a mismatch here. But when you look at this, the really only weakness across the board on either one of these teams is the run defense of the Washington Commanders, and that is not going to play well against Baltimore. That is not going to play well against Philadelphia.
Saquon,
that is not going to play well against San Francisco, teams that can and will run the football downhill, and so I think Philly tonight on the ground wins this game. But what a hell of a matchup! I love watching Jalen Hurts. This offense is fun to watch, and then you flip it over and you've got an air raid offense with Jaden Daniels running that thing. Cliff Kingsbury's offense is beautiful.
I may be jaded for what I watched Sunday, but I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. I think when it's all said and done, their talent, their experience too. This is a team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I think they are a better team than the Lions. I do. I trust Jalen more than I trust Goff. I know that Nick Sirianni gets a lot of deserved, side eye looks. I think him and Dan are, especially with their decisions, their aggressive decisions are not as far off as you would think. I mean, obviously, I think Dan, I trust Dan a little bit more. But their talent, their defense, and all the guys, the high-end guys that they have over there, as you mentioned, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Hale Smith on the other side. I just think they have a ton of talent. I really like the Eagles and what they've been doing. I'm telling you, Clint, when they held that Cincinnati Bengals offense that's been humming on everybody to 17 points in Cincinnati, that was one where I'm like, oh, this is – because it was their pass defense that was the real problem. And they're them the whole Burrow who has gotten everybody. And they held him down. That one to me was one that made me look at them differently. So – I like the Eagles. I think they win big tonight, by the way, as well. And I'm sure we'll get into this with T-Mill's best bets. But I really like the Eagles tonight. All right. One of the big stories around the city today is that there has been a proposal for a $1 billion project to kind of change things with the Astrodome. And there are a lot of people with mixed feelings, and these are the perfect conversations in what we do because I think there are a lot of people on either side. Which side are you on? Are you on the side of tear that damn thing down and just move on? Or are you on the side of, hey, I kind of like the proposal of doing something with the Astrodome, adding some potential retail opportunities in the Astrodome and doing something with it? Which side do you stand on? We'll discuss that. Coming up next.
Bundle Ruski Doo.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
To the gentleman who told me to go read a book, as I said, about getting bear neutered, go read a book. Train him.
He's having a bad day.
I just want you give me that book. Give me that book. I'll go read it. I promise you. Now I want to also say that we have hired multiple trainers, but you give me that book, and I'll read that book. I want to know the book because if I just got to read the book and then I'll stand with that book and implement everything that book says to see if Bear will do.
Marley,
that's what I do to him sometimes when he really starts to be
call him a different name.
Marley from Marley and Me. He turns into Marley sometimes. Yeah, he's a. Yeah, he's not. I mean, he can eat rocks, so he's pretty talented, to be honest with you.
Sound like you got your real winner there, bud.
But we love him.
Somebody's got to.
I love that. Like, you think of it to yourself. You know what? I bet Ron's never thought about a trainer. You know what?
I bet he's never thought about discipline.
No, never. Bet he never has. Nope. Yeah. He's just going right here. Oh, man. All right. As we're live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, coming up after this segment, we will be hooking somebody up with our final prize, and that is a pair of tickets, Texans-Titans. So if you're on the way here, you got about 10, 15 minutes to sign your name up. and get yourself in with a chance to win those tickets. All right, big news coming, and I saw it out of the Chronicle. It's around all over the place now that the Astrodome potentially could have a $1 billion renovation plan that could include different retail options inside of it. They would keep the structure but build it, put different hotels, different shops potentially in there, and it is a $1 billion cost. And I find it interesting, and many of you who have lived in Houston forever or your whole lives, most of your lives, like Clint and Tyler have strong feelings on it. And that's what I said. I wonder, and I'm seeing some people respond in on this, wonder where are you at on this? Do you want them to just shut it down and tear it down and move on? I saw some people say tear it down to have more space for tailgating, tear it down to do other things. Are you, did this potential plan to add retail options and things of that nature, that kind of turn you on to saying, "Ooh, I like to be able to keep that historic building and do things like that too"?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I can't even understand the method of the madness of folks that don't want to. I'm of the understanding that you're going to spend an unbelievable amount of money, no matter what you do there. Right, the thought is, like, I've been to Philly to a game. I've been to New England for a game, and both of those places. I've been to Dallas for a game. Most places are either so new they haven't done it yet, or they have built a complex around the stadium that includes all kind of different shopping and all kind of different restaurant options and different, you know, event centers, which you've already got a lot of the event center stuff over there with the on the complex that you wouldn't obviously tear down. But the thought that that's going to cost money and that's ultimately what they would replace it with, like, I assume that's the idea. So the thought of somehow executing a plan that keeps the history of the Dome alive while also providing all of that, I just don't know why that wouldn't be the plan. It would be, I mean, and look, clearly you would remove the majority of the Dome and just keep certain aspects of the Dome that's there, but I just don't know why you wouldn't keep that as part of the plan.
No,
if we're already here, I absolutely love it, man. I went to games in the Dome. I was an Astro buddy, stood on the turf, took pictures with Jose Cruz and Terry Poole and Billy Dorn and Billy Hatcher and all these guys. And then these young punks, they want to come along and they just want everything new.
Perfect timing.
They just want everything new so that they can screw it up ultimately.
Millennials.
Yeah, man. No, I just don't know why you wouldn't want to mesh that Dome into something 2024, 2025-ish.
Yeah, I'll let Tyler give his thought, because I believe Tyler's on the other side of this, which I'm seeing many people here on the text line and YouTube and Twitch. To me, however it is, and the Dome and what they present, it seems like it'd be a really, really cool thing. I just think there just needs to be revenue options. There's revenue right there, something around.
It's definitely
NRG.
Wasted space and opportunity.
Yeah, it's
wasted
space and opportunity, and they don't, as you said, there's what, a hotel bar? Like, for you to come out of the rodeo or to come out of any kind of event at NRG,
it's still me and my wife used to go all the time. She's younger than me, obviously, but it's like it's since she was in that world, and since she was old enough to get into a bar and have a drink, it's walk across the parking lot and go to this hotel bar, and it's that way today. It's 20 years worth.
Yeah, and like Tyler, if I remember right, you were in Minneapolis for the game. Like, there's stuff all around. There's stuff to do after.
Oh, everywhere in Minnesota.
And places to go outside of it. That's just my biggest thing. Like, I would say that even if the Dome, you know, wasn't there or not, like, why is there not some sort of an entertainment district right there? There should be, like, you know, 30, 40 bars and restaurants.
Maybe
right
there's
there.
Like a zoning issue.
Well, what if there's a zoning issue right there, though, what they have shown that they can do that right there is that they'd have the ability.
Well, there's definitely some issue, and I'm willing to bet you that the adults in the room are screwing it up somehow, some way, yeah. and not either tearing it down 15 years ago or doing something yeah. with it now. I just think that, like, if they did something with that and the only thing that even resembled the dome was the top of it.
That'd be cool.
How cool. I mean, that's, I don't know. I think that would be really cool. And build up around it super fancy with all these different amenities, if you will. And that'd be beautiful, man.
Yeah. So your team, but Tyler, your team tear it down. You've reached that point. You're just tired of it.
Yeah. And I, like, everything. Like, everything y'all just talked about and all the details and ideas that Clint just laid out, like, I'm not denying that the idea could be very cool and that if it was optimized and done right, like, I'm with you. That sounds like it could be awesome. But, I mean, we're talking about local government here, guys. We're talking about, you know, how long is that going to take? What's it going to do to the tax dollars of the people in Houston? Like, I don't know. It's been sitting there rotten for forever. Just knock that thing down and let the present day Texans use that space.
I agree with your frustration, Tyler. The only thing is it's going to take just as long to get to a point where somebody can tear it down as it would take to get to a point where somebody could do something with it.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah,
if you're going to pay to tear it down, and to me, there's a problem that you still have of your number one prize thing that attracts people, the most people that it can attract in the city. There's nothing to do outside of it where you could take advantage of people as soon as they leave wanting to come out. They have to fix that, and this looks like an option.
Go hang out in the teal lot.
Yeah, go hang out in the teal lot. I'm telling you, them people from Detroit, boy, they would have spent all their money
boy,
last
week.
Boy,
you slipped up, didn't you?
I did, boy. Did you hear
it? Man, remember going to that game? Remember going to that game, that preseason game with the Texans, man? Texans in the, what you call it, the Hall of Fame game?
Yeah.
Went to that restaurant, got us a nice little meal, had us a couple drinks. When I walk over on that turf field where they had all those deals set up. I mean,
there it is.
Like that on steroids.
And steroids with hotels
yes.
and things. Oh, man. You imagine Super Bowl or big events that you could use it?
Yeah.
That is just, it's just money and jobs.
Yep.
Right there, just rolling. All right, coming up, we're going to hook somebody up with a pair of tickets to the game without that experience. But we'll also discuss here. The most important man in the building at NRG. The most important man in the building this week at NRG, and it is not a player. We'll discuss that and T-Mill's best bets coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, congratulations to our latest winner, Teresa. She is off the handle. Give her a hand. There you go.
Your mom's in town?
My mom's in town. See, they spell it the same way, too. Teresa flew off the handle. Boy, she's excited, and she should be. She is our winner. I'm telling you, if you come on out and hang out with us on Thirsty Thursdays, you have a chance to get a dub. You got a chance to win multiple prizes, including the big one. We usually have Texans tickets that you can win, and you can't win them if you don't come out and put your name in the raffle box. So we appreciate everybody who came out. By the way, tomorrow, come out with us tomorrow, Football Friday. I saw Melissa text in and say she was going to drop by, so good luck.
Eastside Melissa.
She doesn't punch
our
me
only
in the arm.
Female listener.
She believed that too. But no, come on out tomorrow.
Did he just make fun of Melissa?
He did.
Well, see, damn right I did.
He doesn't have to.
I didn't stutter.
Yeah, he gets to. He gets. He did. Just don't punch me for her. For him.
Yes. Bring it on, Mel.
You hold Ron accountable. He's the one. He's the one poking the bear.
I'm not. I just said. She said. I just simply said. She said she was going to stop by. We'll be at East River 9.
Come on, Joe.
Can't wait to see you
tomorrow.
Always
downtown.
A joy.
I'm telling you, you can play a little pickleball. You can play some golf. Win some prizes there, as well, and get a chance to see on the first tee. Arguably the best view of the downtown skyline. So come on out with us tomorrow. We'll be out there having a good time. Before we get to the most important man in the room and know it's or in the building at NRG and know it's not C.J. Stroud, hell, it ain't even Bob Slowick, according to Clint Sterner. Before we get there, I want to thank everybody who helped us.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get this thing going today. Everybody who came out, we appreciate you. Our great promo staff who always help us put together the best show we could possibly can. Our engineer, Matt, who has kept us on both the radio and as well as YouTube and Twitch. And clearly I am his favorite. And the staff here, Buffalo Wild Wings. Give the staff a hand here, man. She does a great job every time. She does a great job. Our Bud Light family, as they have hung out and done their thing as they always do here every single week. So we appreciate you all as well. And Tyler back at the studio holding everything down as well. So we appreciate that. Also, come out with us again Football Friday tomorrow, East River 9, 2-6 as well. All right, Clint, who is it? If it ain't Bob Slowick, if it ain't C.J. Stroud, who is the most important person at NRG, and why? Why if it ain't them? If it ain't those guys?
Look, I think it's Jerod Johnson. I mean, at this point in time, it's the improvement, the moving the needle, the offense getting better. It's all about C.J. Stroud, right? And we've talked at length about the interceptions last week and the struggles. That part of it's got to get better. Bobby Slowick was better last week. The plan that he put out there will win. Nico Collins is back. John Metchie has emerged. They're getting healthier. The adjustments that were made on the offensive line appear to be improved pass protection at the very least. And so right now, the part that has to get better is C.J. Stroud has to settle in. He's got to settle his feet down. He's got to get comfortable seeing things again. He's got to pick and choose when to take shots. He's got to work low to high. And he's got to do all those things, number one, so he can protect himself, but number two, so that the offensive coordinator can take the handcuffs off and feel free to call any and everything because he trusts that C.J. Stroud is going to make the right decisions, both in protecting the football as well as that working low to high thing and picking and choosing when he's going to take his shots, right? And we're seeing a C.J. Stroud that the struggles, the handful of misses that end up hurting you in a game, I believe are a direct response to the pressure, the heat, the hits that he took over the first 9 weeks of the season. Better last week, but the first 9 weeks were rough. And I understand there's a couple games in there that were fine. I'm just overall, it was rough. And we're seeing a guy that is the game's moving really fast for him. There's not as much trust and confidence there as there has been in the past. And we've got to get back to C.J. Stroud's got to get back to being that guy. And that is the most important thing for the Houston Texans right now. And the man that's in charge of that, responsible for and capable of making that happen, is Jerod Johnson, former Texas A&M Aggie quarterback, former Elite 11 trainer where he met C.J. Stroud and their relationship started, and current Texans quarterback coach. Jerod Johnson is the most important person at NRG Stadium right now this week. The 10 to 15 minutes a day that should have started last Monday, if we're being completely honest, but it's going to happen every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all the way up until they get on that damn plane to go to Dallas.
Yeah, I, listen, they have been searching for whatever it is to try to find CJ. I know last week we were sitting in here at this very Buffalo Wild Wings at this very desk, and I know you were annoyed about the, I got to play with joy, but I think all of these things, and what you're talking about is in in hopes of trying to get CJ to be himself, to get into playing the way that he played last year and the way Clint he's played his whole life, and not being, you know, trigger happy, you know, inaccurate, missing throws or playing in his head or choppy feet or happy feet moving. I think it is all in an effort to getting to him playing at the way that he normally plays and the way he played last year to get him to that spot. Whether it is his demeanor, as he was saying last weekend, or what you're saying is to get back to being able to flinch. Because it's not like he didn't see pressure last year. Not as constant as this, obviously. Yeah. But he handled it, you know, in a way that wasn't like this. Like, you know, and he was able to hang in there, keep his eyes downfield, and make accurate throws even when he was under pressure. And I think that, you know, the trying to get back to that dude is really important.
Well, last year they adjusted, I mean, beautifully throughout, whether it was overcoming offensive line or it was overcoming not having your wide receivers. And through that, he did not take a beating consistently the way that he has right now. And so last year, he never flinched in those moments. He's been hit so much this year that it's affecting him. Call it flinch, call it seeing ghosts, call it happy feet, call it whatever the hell you want to call it. It's real, and it's a problem, right? And the key now is to get it moving back in the right direction. And the only way you do that is Monday through Sunday, because you play Monday night, Jerod Johnson gets with C.J. Stroud, and they're not trying to game plan. They're not worrying about what the coverage is. They're not worrying about anything but a sole focus on, I got to get my drop, whatever it may be. I got to stand tall in the pocket. I got to work my micro movements, and I got to deliver the football. And the key is do all of that in chaos, whether they're hitting you with bags, they're screaming, they're throwing stuff at you, whatever they may do, you got to get 1,000 reps this week of doing that. It's lonely work. It's after hours. It's overtime. It's not fun. But the reality of it is so often in the NFL, that's taken for granted. So often in the NFL, we get here, these guys are making a bunch of money. They're the best in the world at what they do. And you let the technique and mechanics work fall to the wayside. And you just can't do it. You just can't do it. You cannot do it. You damn sure can't do it when you're getting the hell beat out of you on Sunday. And when you start getting the hell beat out of you on Sunday, the only way to come out of it and with that happy feet stuff and seeing ghost stuff and struggling a bit is to make sure you're getting that lonely work in every day. And Jerod Johnson, if anybody in that building knows, like I'm not talking about knows the importance of it, but literally knows what he's going through because he stood in the pocket and he's taking hits and he's delivered the football. He knows exactly what he's talking about. Jerod Johnson is the one that knows, and he's the one that I think can fix it.
Let's see if that gets fixed coming up on Sunday. All right, Tyler, let's get to your best bets. You were 1-for-11 going into yesterday. And you won more than you lost yesterday. Now I think we're marching 4-for-16 for the week in terms of your bet. So you won 3 and lost 2 yesterday. So that's a positive route. Where are you at today?
Yeah, moving in the right direction. Winning, getting 3 of those 5 best bets yesterday. Hitting that mark we always aim for, 60% on that. Hopefully keep it going tonight. And I'm going to give you some bets for Thursday night football as I typically do. Best bets here. I got 6 of them for you. I got some action in this game. And Clint, don't ask. I'm out of room, man. I'm trying to make up some red numbers here. All right, first.
At least you got it out the way.
I think I'm on the opposite side that you are here, Ron. I am. I'm taking the Commanders, and I added some points. I teased this a little bit, but I take the Commanders plus 5.5 tonight against the Eagles. I like those odds, and I like those points. Also, I'm on the under overall for this game. I think it's too high for Eagles Commanders tonight, under 49.5. And now 4 player props for you. I'll list them off. First, Jaden Daniels, quarterback of the Commanders, over 30.5 pass attempts. Then I got the former Texan pass catcher, Noah Brown. I have him over 3.5 receptions tonight against the Eagles. And then 2 Eagles props here. I got A.J. Brown over 5.5 receptions. Really, really like those odds for A.J. Brown. And last one, this scrub, tight end Goddard for the Eagles, under 3.5 receptions for the tight end in Philly tonight. What do y'all like?
Well,
You don't like anything.
I know the one I like.
I like A.J. Brown over 5.5 catches, but I think they're going to run the hell out of the football, so it's going to take him all four quarters to get to it.
Yeah, I like Jaden Daniels over 30.5 pass attempts. They do it anyway. And you know Cliff's offense. Even their short passes is their run game. He's been up above 30 in a lot of these games. They get 30-plus against the Steelers, 38 two games ago. So I like that bet. And yes, I believe the Eagles win big. So I think the game is going to dictate him throwing the football a lot. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, the Hall of Famer John McClain will join the fellas. And then you can get ready for Thursday night football coverage, as we just talked about it. The Commanders and the Eagles will be live right here on Sports Radio 610. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Have you ever been told that
Sean Carter?
Yes. Have you ever been told that your tone and your pacing and you sound like Jay-Z?
Nah, I'm not gonna lie. I never heard that one. I take it as a compliment, though, for sure.
Well, I'm a big Jay-Z fan, so it's definitely a compliment.
I'm a Jay-Z fan too. I take it as a compliment for sure. Appreciate you. I might pull up an interview and watch.
Pull it up. Hey, pull it up, Matt.
Just ain't nobody
you,
ever told Matt that either.
I'm telling you, man. You need more
people. No, I don't hear that. No, I don't hear that, Matt. No.
And the world's all right with me.
Hey, shout out to T-Mill.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.